So let's continue on in our series. Years ago, I bought a good waterproof jacket and liner from Columbia Jackets. It was expensive. I paid a good dollar for it, but I had gotten to a place in my life where I realized that you get what you pay for, and I was tired of buying this one, and it only lasted a little while. So I bought this jacket from Columbia, and I paid a good dollar for it, and it lasted at least 10 years. And one day when we were in Nanaimo, it pours rain there lots. And one day we were doing church in the park, and or some kind of ministry in the park, and it was pouring. So I put on my good Columbia OmniTech jacket, which had kept me dry for years. And at the end of the day, I went, you know what? My shirt's all wet up here. It leaked. And I thought, oh, that means I got to buy another jacket. So I went to Sport Check to buy another jacket. And I found one. I found a nice jacket there, and I'm still wearing it today. It's starting to wear out. But the salesman, when I told him the story about how I'd had this Columbia OmniCheck jacket that was guaranteed for life. That's what Columbia says. Their jackets are guaranteed for life. But it leaked, and he said, you know, you should email Columbia Jackets. And I thought, come on. I mean, I've had it for over 10 years. If I was Columbia Jackets, I'd say, what do you want out of a jacket? You've had it for 10 years, but being the frugal man I am, I emailed Columbia Jackets. And they phoned me. And the fella said, I told him the story and again, and he said, you know, if you will mail your jacket to us, the jacket and liner, if you will mail it to us, we'll have a look at it and assess it. As long as it doesn't look like it's been run over by a truck, he said. And I said, well, it's pretty old, but it doesn't look like it's in good shape. But I had to pay the mailing fee, and I'm pretty cheap. And I thought, oh, man, what if I mail it to them? And then they got my jacket, and they say, no, we're not warrantying it at all. But they phoned me, and the fella said to me, no, your jacket's in good shape. And it definitely doesn't shed water anymore. Go online and pick any jacket you would like, and we'll send it to you. Wow, eh? Wow. Do you know, I was blown away. First, I think of the person, the salesperson at Sport Check, who was willing to say to me, you know what? Columbia is a good company. And I hadn't bought the Columbia jacket from them, but Columbia is a good company, and you should email them and find out. I mean, he wasn't going to gain anything by that. In fact, when I found out I was getting a new jacket, I thought about taking my jacket back to Sport Check, the one I bought. But I didn't. And then I felt like that salesman had gone above and beyond what he needed to do. And then Columbia Jackets, the way they treated me, there was no hassle. No, they were just great. And they went way above and beyond to replace my jacket. And let me tell you one more story about above and beyond. Just happened to me yesterday, so it was not in my sermon notes. I was stopped at Costco. I'd been in Kamloops for a couple of days. Kathy had been home, and I'd been helping. My son's doing this huge reno, and he needs my help. Probably doesn't, but he says he does. And I was helping him, and I stopped at Costco on the way home. Hadn't been home for a couple of days, so I picked up some flowers. And when the guy at the counter, he put my flowers in the buggy standing up right beside the piece that goes out, right? And I thought to myself, don't forget those flowers, they're out of the way. I go out to my car, I load my stuff in the car, take the buggy to the buggy rack, and there's no other buggies in the buggy rack, so I put it in there, just leave it there, and jump in my car, and I get to the turn to turn on to the road, and I went, the flowers, I left them in the buggy. So I roar back. In fact, I roared back too fast because some lady went like this at me. This is a parking lot, she said. I could read lips. So I slowed down a bit, got to the buggy. There was another buggy there and no flowers. There was two ladies, though, at a car right there loading their car. And I says, hey, did you see anybody take some flowers from? I thought maybe they'd picked them up and taken them in or something, you know. No, she said, you should go inside. Maybe they turned them in. And I thought, okay, yeah. I went inside, talked to the lady at the door. She radioed. No, nobody turned any flowers in. I says, oh, okay, I'll go buy some more. And the lady said, no, 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 wait, 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 wait. And she took me to another couple of employees and told them the story. And they said to her, just take them over to the flowers, get them some flowers, and check them out. Above and beyond. I mean, wow. And this lady, all this lady can say to me, because I'm willing to pay for the second, it was my fault. I'm willing to pay for the second set of flowers. Well, that's what your Costco membership, that's part of your Costco membership, she says. People complain about paying their Costco membership, but that's part of it, she says. And I thought, wow, way above and beyond. And how often do we hear of companies or people going above and beyond what they're called to do? It's not the normal, is it? It's not the natural. The fact is, more times than not, we hear the opposite, or at least the biggest thing, you know, oh, they've just done what they needed to do. They've done the minimum. They've gone the minimum. How often I hear about customer service and how poor it is these days. But we sure appreciate and sure notice those who go above and beyond, don't we? We notice. We don't forget. In Matthew chapter 5, as we continue on in our series, Life in the Kingdom of God, we're going to look at this, something that doesn't come natural to most of us. Going above and beyond doesn't come natural. But listen to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start there, verse 38. Jesus said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is a law which is found in the Old Testament. It's found in Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, and those scriptures are in your bulletin if you want to look them up. When it was first put into place, this law was considered a great step forward because it restricted the amount of vengeance people were able to demand. Before the law was in place, if I had knocked out Pat's tooth, he might go to the court and say, I want two teeth knocked out in Scott. One for reconciliation and one for the vengeance. Or if somebody had a sheep stolen from them and they caught the thief, they might say, yeah, I want him to repay me one sheep plus a cow. I mean, that's the way people are. You don't think so? They're still like that today. Just watch the global news broadcast and look at the commercials. Every night on global news, maybe not every night, but it seems like it, there are commercials from lawyers saying, you deserve a better settlement. In fact, I was appalled. About a week ago, I was watching and there was some guy giving a testimony about how great the lawyer was, and the lawyer got him 138 times more than the insurance company had offered him. See, the law was put in, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, so the judges would know what was fair compensation. That's what it was all about. People want vengeance. They want more than their share. In other words, it's not left in the hands of God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Pat, you can have the one tooth, but the other tooth is God's to take care of. You know what I'm saying? Honest, Pat, I didn't knock out one of Pat's teeth. I hope you got all your teeth. But, you know, we don't leave. What people want is they want their pound of flesh and more. The law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, was there for the judges to say, this is fair for the crime. This is what the crime deserves. But then Jesus takes the law a step further as we read on, and he says in verses 39 to 42, you've heard it said, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Can you just hear the Pharisees listening to Jesus say this? Like, man, I think Jesus has been out in the sun too much. He's gone stark raving mad. Can you, who would ever say, do not resist someone who is evil? I mean, come on. But here again, we see that it's not about the letter of the law. Jesus is not saying we should literally just let a person who has struck us to strike us again. He's not literally saying, if I punch you, just turn the other cheek so I can punch you again. That's not what the literal law is. That's not what he's after. It's about the heart towards others. When we are wronged, what is the first and natural reaction to do? Well, our first reaction and our natural reaction is usually to get even and to avoid the person, like stay away from them, don't have any contact with them. I mean, I remember my mom telling me that when I was a kid, when somebody's bullying me, just stay away from them, don't have anything to do with them. Here we see Jesus is saying that as Christians, we are not to seek revenge or retaliation. We should not have a spirit of resentment towards those who have wronged us. And that's hard. That's hard. That's not the natural. Jesus wants us to take our focus off ourselves and the situation and place it on the one that's offending us. By the way, nowhere in the Bible does it ever tell us that we should be offended. Nowhere. It's not that we just allow people to beat us up or sue us or force us to do things, but those things are not the primary focus of the situation. We're not to be passive, and there is a time to stand up and say, you know what, that's not right. You can't treat me like that. No one should be treated like that. There is a time to stand there and say that. But at the same time, though, the spiritual situation of the person's spiritual well-being is more important than what's happening to us. Jesus is saying it's more important than the inconvenience. It's even more important than the pain. And that's hard for us to grasp as humans. But where is this person spiritually? If somebody is persecuting us, if somebody hits us, or if somebody says something to us, or sues us, or borrows something and doesn't bring it back, what does it say about the spiritual condition of the person? These folks expect us to retaliate. They expect us to hold resentment against them. And that, why? Because that's what the world does. We see it on the commercials, right? Sue, 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 sue. If you slip, if your coffee's too hot, if whatever, just sue. Get more than your pound of flesh. Yet Jesus is calling us as his church, as his people, to go above and beyond. Jesus is not only saying don't retaliate and don't hold resentment against the offender, but bless them as well. Hold on. Really? Like, okay, I might be able to manage not retaliating. I might be able to manage not holding vengeance. But now you want me to bless the one that's offending me too? Well, if he steals your cloak, give him your other garment as well. Sounds like you're blessing him. Be nice to them. Let me share a story on the internet that Virginia emailed me this week. It's about a church called Gateway Church in Texas. They added a new location to their service. I don't know how many people you emailed this to, so I don't know how many people have heard this. But they added a new location to their church. It started because a member of their church, who was an ex-con, was meeting with inmates from 2010 to 2018 at Caulfield Prison, meeting regularly with lots of inmates. In fact, so many inmates, roughly around 500 of the 4,200 inmates, were meeting weekly with this gentleman from Gateway Church. Wow. And so Gateway Church decides that they're going to start a campus right in Caulfield Prison. They get the okay from the prison. In fact, they have a campus in the prison now. 500 men meeting weekly. They have their own pastor. I mean, that campus is so big. You got 500 people. You can imagine. I mean, visitation's really easy. They're not. You don't have to put a bunch of mileage on your car going anywhere. They're all in the same place. But can you imagine? And they baptized five guys from the cartel and two different gangs. These aren't just your regular good, nice guys. These are the mean guys in the prison. I mean, where they go, the guards go and stand right beside them or hold their arm, or there's going to be a battle. And they baptize these guys, and these guys come out of the tank and walk with the other guys in the other gang, because now they're all one in Jesus. What an amazing story. Gateway Church has gone above and beyond. Where society states, let them just rot in prison. Those are horrible guys. They're just going to come out and deal drugs and murder and do whatever. And they got life sentences. Let them just rot there. Gateway City Church says, or not Gateway City Church, sorry. Gateway Church in Texas. Gateway City Church is in Kamloops. Gateway Church in Texas says, no, we're not going to let them rot there. We're going to go and minister to them. We're going to go and bless them and encourage them that they can be the best they can be right there. That is going above and beyond. See, Matthew 25, 36 states, I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. We take that text usually, and I have to admit, you know, usually the way I take that text before I was in prison ministry, it was, well, we'll go visit the persecuted, the ones who are falsely imprisoned for the gospel. But that's not what it says there. It says, go and visit those who are in prison. And that's what Gateway Church is doing. Jesus is saying that the spiritual life of the person is of most importance. We need to visit those who are in prison. We need to lend what we have to someone who needs it. Not just because they want it, but if they need it, we need to lend it to them. What, really? Well, think about it. What you have, is it really yours? Is anything that you have yours? The home you live in, the car you drive, whatever you have is not really ours. Jesus is the one who provides all that we need. He provides us with the means of getting it all. Everything belongs to Jesus. If we are only concerned about ourselves, our rights, our stuff, then the kingdom of God will never be seen by others. They will never see us, and the only time they do is when we're self-centered, and they will see us as a self-centered organization that's all about us and not about anybody else. We need to be Christians who go above and beyond. If I'm just self-centered, if that's all it's about, I'm too busy taking care of my own stuff and worrying about me to even tell anybody about the gospel. To share the love of Jesus, we need to go above and beyond. And Jesus continues in verse 43 saying, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now the Pharisees, they could agree with that. Yeah, that's good. Even though that wasn't even a written law in the Old Testament. That's not even in the Old Testament as a written law. But they would agree with that. The Israelites agree with that because their neighbor was their countryman, was their fellow Jew. And their enemy was anyone who was not a Jew. So that was easy. That was simple. But Jesus continuing on with the theme about going above and beyond, once again addresses self-centeredness. Listen to what he says in verses 44 to 47. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Jesus states that we must love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. Jesus is saying that all people are created equal in God's image. It's not us, the Christians, and them, the sinners. We're all God's creation. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not all going to heaven, but we're all God's creation. Our Father doesn't discriminate. He gives rain and sun to the evil and the wicked and the unrighteous, and he gives rain and sun to the righteous and the good as well. He doesn't say one is better than the other. Why should we shun the evil person? If we only greet those we know will greet us back and are good, what difference is there between us and the world? If we only greet the people that I know and I know will greet me back cheerfully, what difference are we than the world? If we only invite those over for dinner who will say, well, you know, if I invite so-and-so for dinner, they're sure to invite me for dinner. What difference is that than the world? That's what the world does. They don't invite people over for dinner that maybe can't afford to have them over for dinner or won't invite them over for dinner. We don't want to be just like the world and only thinking about ourselves. Jesus is saying that his followers are those who are different, those who are exceptional, those who go above and beyond the norm. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it declares, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We used to be like that. We used to be like the world. But that's the past, and now we're a new creation. We are different. We are above those old ways of being self-focused, and we go beyond the natural and bless those who are even our enemies. We see the natural man will regard other people with tolerance. You know, the natural person out there sometimes might be able to handle without tolerance or with tolerance. I mean, he might even feel sorry for someone and say that society's being a little hard and treated harshly. Yet the Christian goes beyond that. He sees others made in God's image. He loves them as he loves himself. Love is an action. Love is an action. It's just not a verb. It's just not something we say. Love is an action. Didn't Jesus have action to his love? Didn't God have action to his love? Love is an action which is focused unconditionally on me? No, on others. Love is focused on others. The Christian loves others by praying for them, by going the second mile, by meeting their needs, by helping them find Jesus who can set them free from their sins and make them part of God's family. So why does a Christian, a follower of Jesus, go above and beyond? Well, I think there's two reasons. First, our whole goal in life is, as Jesus puts it in Matthew 5:48, being perfect. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Our whole goal is to be perfect, and the only way to be perfect is to be saturated with the character of our heavenly Father. Now, I know we're never going to be completely perfect until the day we are with Jesus, but that's what we strive for. We need to be saturated with that character of our heavenly Father, because he went above and beyond. Our Father sent his Son to restore our relationship with him. He did not think of himself. He did not think of the pain and the grief we have caused him. We can also just take a quick look at Jesus and how he went above and beyond. How he suffered, not for anything he did, but for our sins, for my sins. To be perfect, our attitude must change from taking what we perceive to be our rights to giving by serving others, no matter what they've done. Isn't that what Jesus did? The second reason to go above and beyond is for the kingdom of God and for those who are not in the kingdom yet. People whose lives have been touched by those who go above and beyond will tell others of their experience. I can't tell you how many times I've told the story about my Columbia jacket to different people because I was just blown away by it. And here, we're probably 5 years plus, and I'm still telling the story of the Columbia jacket and the salesperson at Sport Check. What do you think people will do if we as Christians go above and beyond? You know, I knocked Scott's tooth out, but he didn't sue me. He was a little upset at the time, but he was actually nice to me. He invited me out for coffee and just shared with me how he felt about the whole situation. If we go above and beyond, they will talk about us, and not in a bad way. And the Father will be glorified. The Father will be glorified. It opens doors to share the kingdom of God and why we are like we are. Jesus is calling us to go above and beyond our old nature of self-focus by reaching out to others in what they would see is an unnatural response. Above and beyond. For us, that needs to be our way of life. I'd like to say it's easy, that we all do it, that I do it all the time. Nope. I sped through that parking lot. And when that lady went like this to me, shaking her finger at me and saying, "This is a parking lot," in my mind, I'm going, "Leave me alone. My flowers are in the basket and I got to get to them. And I'm not going that fast anyhow." And if I wasn't after my flowers, I would have probably rolled down my window and spoke to her. Thank you, Lord, I didn't. I would like to say it's natural, but it needs to be. And we need to continue to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect and be people who go above and beyond. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you're a great Father in the fact that you give us this wonderful example of what it means to go above and beyond. Thank you that you teach us. And Lord, help us to learn and help us to grasp those principles and help us to put them into practice. May they not just be the head knowledge, Father, but may they be the heart knowledge that we really need, that would be that what's in our heart would come out, that we could share with the world. And the world would see that we're different, not for our glory, not that we get patted on the back, that they would see our Father in heaven. And even more than that, that they would come to know our Father, and you would be their Father. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.